welcome back to another episode of Drone World, the podcast by Copters. I'm your host, Chelsea, and today in the studio, I have with me...
Hi, I'm Tom. I'm a digital marketer for public safety and defence at Copters.
I'm Beth, also digital marketing exec at Copters, but I focus more on the inspection, renewables, oil and gas side of things.
Amazing! And today, us three are here to talk about drones for good.
Arguably my favourite topic.
Mine too.
In the drone sector. We do love it.
Right, so let's jump straight in. Our first story, I think, is arguably the most talked about thing in the drone world right now. Sausage salvation.
Oh yeah? Of course.
We know it.
I mean, we jumped on that pretty quickly. I mean, you might have seen it across our social medias, etc. There was a dog that had been stuck in a marshland for about 4 days, I think it was, or 4 nights.
Poor little puppy.
And they managed to coax them out of the marshland they couldn't get onto. It's like a mud flat, using a drone with a sausage attached to it, which is probably one of the cutest things I've ever heard within the search and rescue sector.
It's pretty damn cute. So this little Jack Russell Whippet mix, like Tom said, yeah, was out on this mud flat. And a sausage attached to a drone saved it. Isn't that amazing?
That's pretty cool.
We love a good drones saving lost dog story.
That is like the best kind of
use
case.
Might be like our third or fourth.
I think it is. Why are we always talking about dogs?
It's like you just like feel good story though, a nice happy ending, and the irony of a sausage dog. It wasn't even a sausage dog. My God,
no, it was a little Jack Russell Whippet mix.
Yeah, I wonder what drone they were using for that.
I mean, it wouldn't have to carry anything heavier.
Yeah, no,
it was more than a 200-gram sausage.
I mean, you never know. Maybe like a Mavic 2 Enterprise Advanced or something like that.
Yeah.
Tie a sausage to that.
Depends on who it was. Like, it was a search and rescue team that were doing it.
The Denmead drone search and rescue team were the ones on hand. Just by coincidence as well, they weren't actually meant to be there. But they formed part of the other teams, like the Coast Guard, police and firefighters, that happened to be there on the day. So...
But yeah, no, it's great. I mean, the problem with the situation, which is why they couldn't get the dog in the first place, because the mud flats are like notoriously known for like, if you get stuck on them, then basically you're not going to get out. So with the dog being so light, it was kind of all right to be on there because it's not going to sink in too much, but it was just way too dangerous for people to get. So they basically had the sausage attached to the drone and then just coaxed it out inside the water area where they managed to get on the boats and then get out and get
and
the dog.
So I heard that she actually grabbed the sausage as well and like nearly crashed the drone.
Really
like,
poor out for 4 days.
Exactly, poor little thing.
I guess it's nice as well to hear this is becoming such a much more common use case for drones as well now. It's usually like with search and rescue, it's obviously missing people, but it's good to see this is becoming such a common use for...
Well, yeah, I mean, over Christmas, there was a search and rescue team that actually managed to lose their dog, and then they found them using a drone, so that was great. And then, obviously, yeah, I mean, a couple more that we've spoken about before.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's lost dogs seem to be our hot topic on this podcast.
I mean,
I'm not mad about it.
Exactly. We love to hear it. I mean, how could you not? It makes my heart nice and warm.
Yeah,
we love
it. Mine too.
Oh, I'm so glad that Millie and Emma, her owner, are now... reunited, back at home.
I mean, I guess if it happens again, she knows how to lure her back in.
Exactly.
With the sausage on the drone. Right?
Exactly. If she's anywhere in the house, just like get the sausages out. The Denmead drone search and rescue team as well even said that they would probably use sausages again.
It is clever.
It was only by coincidence that someone just bought them out like food, like because apparently the people in the community are really like supportive of like bringing food out and everything like that and cups of tea and everything. They're like, oh, well, we could potentially just attach the sausage to the drone. It was like, I can imagine it wasn't their immediate thought to do so.
No, not at all. No. Oh, we love some innovative thinking.
Definitely,
so.
That's fast thinking too.
Exactly. Go
under pressure.
Yeah. Otherwise the poor puppy could have been swept away. But no, another life saved by drones. Thank you.
I mean, speaking of drones for like search and rescue, etc. I mean, obviously I speak a lot with like search and rescue teams up and down the country. And if you don't follow West Mids Police, Eye in the Sky on Twitter, they're a great team, one of the best advocates for drones in policing in particular. But, you know, they're always posting about their success stories. And with some of their drones that they have, they'll be using like spotlights, etc., for their drones to light up like scenes while they've been treating casualties, etc. So one came out last week, or I guess 2 weeks by the time this podcast comes out, where a full team of like medics and everything were treating an injured female on the ground and they were using a drone to light up the scene. So it's something that a lot of people don't think about. People often think like using the cameras, maybe like using thermal cameras to find people. But with Mavic 2 Enterprise Advanced, as we spoke about before, the Matrice 300 obviously has a ton of payloads that you can use to attach to the bottom of it.
Pretty versatile.
But again, back to the Mavic 2 Enterprise Advanced, you know, it's such an inexpensive drone in the grand scheme of things. It comes with three attachments as standard, one of them being the spotlight, and that's able to light up the scene for someone to be treated. It's an amazing bit of kit, really.
I guess when you compare the cost of the drone compared to getting a helicopter out, a full-on search and rescue team.
But you've just done some interesting stats about that recently, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the cost, it's the time taken to respond as well. I think the average was just over 30 minutes for a helicopter to respond.
That's mad.
Across the UK, like, obviously there's a lot of people that are taking a lot longer. I think the longest was like 66 minutes. You can find it on our social media, hashtag plug. But yeah,
we love a cheeky plug.
There's a lot of issues with conventional helicopter searches, etc., the cost being the main thing, but like I said, response times. I mean, I think it's about £2,800 an hour that they're saying operational cost for helicopters are.
Holy!
Per hour. Yes. So it's...
That's huge! Yeah, I mean, staggering. When you compare the cost of a drone,
yeah,
it almost makes it seem like a no-brainer. Yeah.
You're completely crossing off both ways, because faster response and cutting the cost. Suppose for the Mavic 2 Enterprise Advanced, if you have 2 hours of a helicopter out, you're basically paying for your drone in itself. So
exactly. It's so worth it, especially when, like, lives are at stake.
Yeah.
Like, imagine trying to find someone half an hour to get the helicopter there, or less than 60 seconds to deploy that drone. Like, yeah. Oh, wow.
I mean, the most recent stats that I've seen, they might be a couple of years old now, but it's hard to get stats on these things these days.
It is.
It takes like 36 hours of police resources for an average medium risk search and rescue operation to happen. And there's like 350, I think it's nearly 360,000 calls or reports of missing people per year. Obviously, that's not the amount of missing people that actually go missing every year, it's just calls. But you can imagine that over that amount of hours and that amount of time and that amount of people that you're really going to have a big issue with regards to cost on your hands.
Yeah,
and the massive strain on like MPAS as well, with the amount of helicopters they can provide, which is probably the biggest issue that they have with supporting that sort of operation.
Exactly. Yeah. Yay, drones for good. Helping us cut down on public spending and time to save lives and all that kind of good stuff. We love to hear it. We love to hear it. Shall we lighten the mood a little after talking about lost people and lost pets? This might be my favourite story that we've got to talk about. Disneyland.
Oh, mine too.
So I didn't know about this, so you guys are going to have to tell me about it.
Oh my gosh, this is a pretty cool one.
I mean, it's not like overly drones for good, but I suppose when you think about like your traditional fireworks display, a lot of people's minds go to their pets and how, you know, agitated they get when fireworks are going off, the environmental impacts they can have as well. You know, it's lots of waste, it's lots of rubbish. And so this year is obviously the 30th anniversary of Disneyland Paris. 30th. That's amazing. Yeah. So,
why did I think it was going to be like a lot older?
Disney's been around forever, but I guess the parks themselves.
Yeah, the parks.
But yeah, so it's the 30th anniversary this year, and to celebrate, they're going to be doing a drone light show, which I think is just so cool.
I'm just getting visions of like drones in the sky making like a little Mickey Mouse ears, Minnie Mouse ears. Well, kind of wish I was going, not going to lie.
Hey, March the 6th, there's still time. There's still time. But they've said to expect fairy dust, like drones making it look like fairy dust twinkling in the sky, and a roof of light.
Wow.
This is what they've leaked for us to expect. That's I'm excited. And obviously we've all seen the 30 logo that they've come out with that looks like the little Mickey Mouse ears. Of course, that's going to be featured in it as well.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited.
I guess off the back of that, it's nice to see more and more bigger companies like, for example, Disney latching onto the environmental impacts of fireworks and then looking into alternatives such as drones, because like the capabilities of drones, it's endless nowadays. Like, who would have thought 5 years ago, maybe probably 2 years ago, drones would be doing fireworks at Disneyland of all places.
100%. I mean, the last 2 years, I forget, I'm going to have to look up the company name. I will look up the name. But the last 2 years of, like, New Year's Eve shows, there's been drone light shows incorporated into that. And I think that over in Dubai and Australia, they're, like, really heavy on incorporating it as well. I'll look them up because I do want to shout them out, because they actually DM'd me on Instagram the other day saying thank you. So
is it Skyworks?
Yeah, Sky.
I remember speaking about them on Good Morning Drone World.
Yeah.
Another little cheeky cheeky plug there.
If you're not watching Good Morning Drone World, then best believe you've got to go over and watch that.
Exactly. We love to plug some of our Drones for Good stories there as well, and a bunch of other news and stuff that's going on in the drone industry. So make sure you go to our YouTube channel. It's just at Copters, and you'll see all of the latest news. We come out with a new episode bi-weekly, so every 2 weeks. So don't forget to check that out as well.
Yeah, I didn't realise we were running ads today, but...
Hey, we love a cheeky plug, okay?
Sky Magic it is.
Oh, Sky Magic.
Yeah. Shout out to the guys over Sky Magic. They're really nice guys. So.
We love you.
So our next story comes from Wales, and I don't know if either of you have seen this, but drones are being used there to help map the effects of global warming on the coast. So I'm not sure what drone it is, but I know they're using laser and LiDAR capabilities to create models and then... like looking where the coast is eroding, which is, I think, is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. So what are they doing? Are they like creating maps and then going back couple of years later and seeing how different they are?
Yeah, so I think from what I understand, they're using the LiDAR and laser to create like 3D models, going in researching, seeing like which parts are obviously eroding the most, going back, say, in like a month or however long it is. Don't really know too much, but... and then going from there and observing the change, which is a pretty cool use case for drones for good, I guess.
That's amazing, because I guess before that kind of LiDAR and drone technology, it would have just been a guess.
Human eye, yeah.
Yeah.
Really, what it has been, so I was doing some research into it the other day, is it's like they have people that have to go onto like the underpasses as well, which is just a massive risk to people, you know, if you got worried about... cliffs falling down, etc. You're gonna have a massive issue, and it's not been particularly efficient to do it from beforehand. So yeah, great use case. It's kind of similar to what I was doing last week. I mean, I went for a case study for the Environment Agency, and they were looking for how a lead mine was polluting into the water that was running down into the River Tees. I'll shout out Paul Schofield from last week as well. Really nice guy. But they were using the Matrice 300, the H20T, to look at the different temperatures of the water. And they're also looking for, I think they were using the L1 as well, the Semi-Cell 1 from DJI. And I can't necessarily remember why they were using that, but but they were using that. So they're using the L1. Again, they've been on this task for now, I think, 3 years. And I think they finally finished last week. But obviously COVID had a massive impact on how people can get out, and obviously people meeting up and everything like that. So we're going to be getting like the data, which we'll be sharing on our social medias again over the next couple of weeks. So keep your eyes out for that as well.
We're looking forward to seeing the data from that, because like you say, there's just so much you can do now.
You'd never even think of it, would you?
No, I think like especially when we're delving into the environment stuff, that personally is obviously like a massively good thing. So like helping researchers discover how they can save the environment and stuff.
And that's such a big thing on the forefront of so many people's minds at the moment, is how can we help save the planet? Because we've only got one, after all. We need a saver.
Yeah, we do.
So what are they expecting to find from this? Have they said, like, could they kind of gather anything from the day?
So it's like the different densities of lead and how it like travels downstream, etc. But yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, there's a lot of like heavy jargon in the interview that I did. But yeah, I mean, obviously really switched on guys, absolutely know their stuff. So it'll be exciting to see how it comes out and what the data is. We'll see once we got the data back, we can get them to explain it in layman's terms as well.
Yeah.
Just so we can snippet
English,
it up,
please.
As well. But no, it was good.
Oh, that's good. That'll be so good to have that all over our social media and stuff. So if you guys are listening to this podcast, it'll probably be out by then. Yes, potentially.
I believe so. Yeah, it should be out in a couple of weeks. So.
Awesome. So go and check our Facebook page, yeah?
Oh, actually, again, not necessarily drones for good, but last night was the last night of the NFL playoffs before the Super Bowl. So the Kansas City Chiefs did a drone light show above their stadium last night as well. On the top of the drone light show.
Yeah,
we were
going
back to
before. Light show.
Literally just seen it. I didn't actually manage to catch that because I was watching the playoffs last night. But again, wow. Really sick.
Drone light shows is becoming such a popular thing now.
I know.
Like,
I love it.
So many more people are doing it rather than fireworks. I love that it's just catching on.
Yeah,
and don't they look amazing?
Spin it around so they're doing like all their logos in the sky.
Right, for those who are listening and not watching,
I'll see if we can get a picture put in over the top of it. It's really cool.
It's like similar to that. This is going back probably a few months now. Did you see Chanel did a marketing campaign with drones?
Yes.
Like, that's just so cool. Like,
amazing.
They did, I think it was either a handbag or the Chanel logo, and they made it out of drones. Let me see if I can sorry for people that are obviously listening.
This is turning into like three people looking things up on their computers. That's the podcast.
Yeah, again, if you're listening, you won't know what Beth is looking at right now, but you can also watch our podcast on YouTube. So go and check it out over there. We'll pop up a little.
Oh, that's so cool.
Chanel bottle. Five yeah. perfume. Yeah,
that's really cool.
That, yeah, that it looks like they've done loads though from the little Google search. They've
yeah.
quite a few.
That's so cool. And there was obviously that one in Australia recently as well. I think that might have been for New Year's yeah. as well. And those transitions were so fast. Like,
yeah.
if you were epileptic or something, I wouldn't recommend watching it because, oh my goodness, it was just changing so bloody quickly. But that's impressive what they can do now. I think a lot of it as well is down to like RTK technology and yeah. increased GPS accuracy and all this other stuff that's coming out with these newer drone models. Mm-hmm. So it's just so amazing to see how far this technology, like it's come along like such a long way, hasn't it?
Seeing as we're back on drone light shows, I'm just going to share another little story here. Oh, so I don't know if you two have heard
the drone light show podcast now by Copters. By Copters.
The Celestial Labs guys, they're based in Melbourne in Australia. But they do a lot of work with drone prep over here, so looking at like drones for good, etc. They're doing nightly drone shows in Melbourne, so every night I think until February 5th. So
oh my.
Every single night they're going up with the drones, doing like different. We'll try get like some pictures and stuff on the YouTube video so you can see what we're talking about. But another great, great use case that's becoming so common now.
Every night.
Yeah.
Wow. I suppose because shows like this would be quite autonomous now, wouldn't they? So
yeah.
while every night sounds quite taxing, it's probably actually really easy.
Yeah, it's not like there's hundreds of drone pilots controlling like all the different drones, etc.
Yeah, it's so easy these days. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
I know we covered it on Good Morning Drone World the other day, but we haven't spoken about the drone being used to save a cardiac arrest patient in Sweden, have we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we spoke about that on, like I said, on Good Morning Drone World. But that was such an amazing story. So this gentleman who was 71 years old back in Sweden, he was shoveling snow off his driveway around the Christmas period and he started having a heart attack, which is scary in any circumstance. Mm. And his wife, luckily, she was standing inside, saw the whole thing going down and stuff and immediately rang emergency services. And these people, the emergency services, were able to deploy this drone that had a defib attached to it. I'm not going to try and say the whole word for defib. I've tried so many times I can't get it out. But yeah, so they deployed this drone with the defib attached and it saved his life within 4 minutes.
That is
4 minutes.
You dread to think what would happen though if they hadn't been able to get the drone deployed with the defib.
Exactly. Because isn't it like 10 minutes or something like that? If someone's having a heart attack, yeah. you need to get them on a defib in like under 10 minutes yeah. to even try saving their lives. So the fact that they were able to get that out in 4 minutes, I think it was very lucky as well. There was a paramedic driving past at the yeah. time, so he was able to assist them with the defib and how to use it and things like that. But obviously defibs have like the instructions yeah. you know, on them, all that yeah. kind of stuff, so even if he wasn't there, he was just so lucky.
Yeah, so there was a doctor driving past who was on their way to hospital when they saw the man collapsed. He started doing CPR, but then the defibrillator came. But, I mean, Everdrone, who have been creating technology for all these autonomous drone deliveries, they've been doing research for, like, the last 2 years. I think over the four-month study, it says here, the researchers found that in 12 out of 14 cases of suspected cardiac arrest, an AD, for example, a defib was delivered in all but one of them from a drone. So, I mean, considering wow. that was not a long time for the research to be going ahead, that's a serious breakthrough.
Heck yeah.
And in 7 cases, the drones arrived before the ambulances as well, so.
That is.
Well, yeah, if they're not waiting for cars, they're not stuck in traffic. Mm. I mean, of course they're going to arrive faster. They can probably fly faster.
This is what it's like now. Can you imagine what the technology is going to be like in, say, even 2 years' time? Yeah. It'll be, like, interesting to see where we're at then, what we're talking about then.
Exactly. There's a bunch of hospitals in the Morecambe Bay area who are literally doing this kind of thing right now. So there's 3 of them. Let me just pull up the names. So the 3 of them were the Lancaster Royal Infirmary, Furness General, and Westmoreland General Hospitals as well. And they're doing something similar. So they're not just transporting defibs between the 3 of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing, like, patient samples, wow. chemotherapy drugs, other kinds of, you know, sensitive supplies that need to be transported quickly.
Mm.
And they were saying in this report that it takes 7 hours of someone driving every day just to transport supplies, like, between these three different hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And a drone can deliver the supplies between one and the other in 28 minutes.
Like, that is crazy. 28 minutes.
That's madness. Why are we not doing this sooner?
Yeah.
So I suppose, like, now is one of those things where I know we say it all the time, but it's literally the regulations catching up with technology in that sense.
It is.
Obviously, it is still really new, and setting up autonomous drone trips is incredibly hard and way above our pay grade.
I suppose it's easy for us to just sit there and go, hello, why are we doing this?
But, I mean, having said that, I mean, BVLOS flights really need to start coming through in the next couple of years, because there's so many different use cases. I mean, I think it's in Holland, they're trying to trial using BVLOS drones to search for forest fires, and then they can, like, send the report to the firefighters. So they can go out and deal with them as well. So,
rather than waiting for someone on the ground to, like, ring up.
It's seriously cool, a lot of this stuff. Again, it's just, in the UK, we always seem to be last to be adopting new technology and all that. So, unfortunately, we might have to be waiting a while for that sort of thing to be coming along. But
it'll come now, I'm sure.
Yeah, 100%. Hopefully not too long, because, guys...
At least the technology's there, do you know what I mean? Like, exactly. You'd be worried if it wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy to think that only, what, maybe 5 to 10 years ago, this kind of technology wasn't. And
wasn't.
Already people are coming up with these amazing, like, innovative ideas that are saving the lives of dogs, people, the environment. Oh, it's just all so good.
Love the drones, we're good.
We love it. Right, so I think we should wrap up the conversation there. That was a lot of Drones for Good information to digest. So thank you guys for joining me today on this podcast.
No worries.
No, thanks for having us.
I'll have you back again soon. Don't worry. And thank you guys as well for tuning in this week. If you really enjoyed the episode, make sure you rate it, review the show, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn as well. Our handle is just @copters. On all of our platforms. And once you follow us there, you'll be the first to know when any of our new episodes go live. So go and do that. And we'll see you next time. Cheers, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye.